about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
She's got eyes of the bluest skies as if they thought of rain. I'd hate to look into those eyes. Let me finish.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Over $1 million is going to be spent to become the mayor of Minneapolis. A $100,000 a year job. You're not the ones that are deciding who you vote for. The media and the money is. I am cool with making $100,000 a year. I will not take money from the developers. I will not take money from the political angle. I will not even go to the strip clubs anymore. Wake the f*** up. I'm Jeff Wagner. I approve this message.
What's the how come?
I love the poorly educated.
And now.
I cannot even.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It's the 25th of February. And do we want to punish people that are up this
early? I don't think so.
Early with... with Ali as Axel?
Well, it was really Axel. Yeah,
sure.
Let's be honest.
Right.
No, I think it might be too early for them. We eased him into it. I believe that was in the 9 o'clock
it
hour.
It was.
So I feel like maybe you don't need that.
It was
audio that should be time restricted as we
yeah.
Yeah. But it's only about 1% better in the 9 o'clock hour. It's
oh,
just a
you.
Little bit better.
Thank you.
Because you're warmed up, but whew.
I appreciate it.
Ali, do you owe me a dollar?
It was pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty right. good.
I love that I'm already making money. The show hadn't even started yet. I already made a buck. This is fantastic. I have a cash machine.
Because
well,
you want a dollar?
Because I want a dollar in an office bed. Yeah.
Tiny machine.
Hey, first of all, obviously, Merry 1/6th Christmas, everybody. It's
aww.
Finally here. It's a very happy day.
Same to you.
So I'm excited about that. Working on a holiday. Hey, wait, I just started. But wait. Got a lot of show planned for you today, but I'm going to start with a story that I think you especially, Kevin, are going to enjoy.
All right.
There's a website that sells, I don't know very much about, I don't play a lot of video games.
Right.
But there are a lot of video games where there are purchases that you can make. You can actually spend real money to buy things to help you in the video game, whether it's outfits to wear or whether it's weapons to shoot with or whatever. There's a lot of money involved in those kinds of websites.
Like if you want a blouse, you can buy a blouse.
Sure.
That's Call of Duty. I think they offer blouses in-app purchases.
So. Well, this particular website was running a Russian website. Was running a contest where the 100,000th visitor to this website that sells virtual arms for video games offered a prize that you would win. If you were the 100,000th visitor, you would win a prize.
Okay.
And the prize was that you live in a hotel for a month with a popular porn star.
Okay.
All right.
And is anything agreed upon ahead of time?
The X-rated movie actress is named Ekaterina Makarova. She works under the name of Macy Sen. She's a very popular mid-20s, very beautiful, very sexy lady who works in Russia.
Allie was just doing the robot. Is it a robot?
No.
Okay.
No, this is an actual porn
woman.
Star.
Okay.
Actual porn star, yeah. So she has she agreed to the contest, and she said, yeah. By the way, I don't understand. Again, this is in Russia, and things may be different over there, but a month? I mean,
yeah, that's a long time.
This isn't like a dinner or a date or even a weekend. This is, this is your new roommate. I mean,
yeah.
They're taking away the reason you get a prostitute because she'll leave. They're taking that away from you.
Right. Isn't that a bizarre prize?
Yeah.
It's not a video. It's not a kiss. It's not a date. It's a month. All right. So she agreed. And yeah, so they did the grand prize drawing last week. And the person that won is 16 years old.
Ooh.
Which is the age of consent in Russia.
Is it really?
So he is eligible for the contest, and he has won the contest. And as you can imagine, he is very excited about it. He is a child actor. His name is Ruslan Shedrin.
He is going to wear her out.
Yes, he is.
2 seconds at a time.
He said...
for a month.
He said, and I am wondering, by the way, about some of the translations of his quotes in this article, because I think it may be translated into English from Russian, which would make sense. He is a child actor, by the way, who lives with his family. He says he reacted with shock and disbelief when he found out he had won the unusual prize. I didn't believe it at first, but when it turned out to be true, I thanked the website. I was so happy. I called my friends, and they did not believe it either. They said, what are you talking about? But now they are happy for me, too. Some of them are envious. He says that Ekaterina is definitely his type, and he is certain that his mom and his sister, who have spoken out against him accepting the prize, will come around to the idea of him spending time with the adult film star. Here's my favorite quote. He added, I saw her, and I liked everything. She has got good sizes. I am looking forward to our meeting so much. Everything is boiling inside me. I am happy so much.
Wow.
I have told my mother, and she has taken it badly, but I think we will sort it out. By the way, it doesn't sound like the option is on the table for mom to forbid him from doing it. Sounds like
mom's going to get over it. She's going to get over it. That's right. The only option out there.
Right. He's already decided, sorry, mom, I'm going. I'm 16. Yeah. When I meet the girl, I will say, hi, I am that very boy. I have won you.
Again, does he understand exactly what's going on then?
I love the translation. Yeah, it sounds to me like he does.
Okay.
When asked, in case you're wondering, by the way, whether Ekaterina is planning on having sex with the winner, she says she has not yet ruled it out. She says, and here's the quote, and it's very cryptic for me, it is not supposed, but life is life. So that sounds to me like she's going to see how it goes.
Life is life.
Yeah.
Life is life.
What a long month that would be if she didn't have sex with you.
Yes.
If you're a 16-year-old boy.
The worst.
And you go there, and on the first day she goes, not for you.
Right.
This
4 days
later,
he's calling home. He's like, Mom, I want to come home.
You were right. Pick me up.
The mom says, I am absolutely against it. He has got exams. He is studying. What do you mean a month with a porn star? This cannot be real. Even a week would be too much. They should give us 100,000 rubles instead. We would be happy with that, which, by the way, is about $1,500, I think, something like that. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But he apparently is eligible. And he says he's in, and
his mom's out, but he doesn't care.
Exactly. So he's leaving home. So that's certainly what's happening. He's like, I guess I just don't live with you anymore, Mom. But congratulations to the Kevin Bean Citizen of the Day, Ruslan Shedrin. Well done, sir.
Oh, goodness.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, you know the drill.
Dr. Drew is going to be on the program today.
Yeah, he is.
Talking about porn addiction. Came out with Terry Crews saying that he's been addicted to porn since he was what age?
I think 12.
He said he started at 12, but he beat it six or seven years ago.
Come on.
And my guess is, and this is one of the questions I want to ask Dr. Drew, my guess is it like drinking where you have to be completely done with it?
Or I don't know.
Is it okay to socially porn? Like, could he do it once a month? Could he do it once a week?
What's
socially
porn?
Like socially drinks?
Socially
like
drink.
Porn.
You don't like go to other people's houses and have a party and
watch
porn.
No. What I'm saying is, does that mean zero porn for
abstinence.
7 years?
I got
or does it. Does that mean occasion? I don't know. See, this is what we've got
to think. But wouldn't even going to the beach be like a gateway drug? Like,
I have a lot of questions.
Right?
Yeah. So Terry Crews is a great guy and a very, very popular, successful actor. He says he said no porn for 7 years. So
wow.
And it was addiction. I mean, he went to rehab for it, he says, which I guess I've heard of, but I'm eager to talk to Dr. Drew because he'll know a lot more about it than we do.
Also on the program today, we have Jim Rome talking sports like we do on Thursdays. We have a brand new internet roundup, and we're going to talk to Kumail Nanjiani, one of our friends and comedians, about the Independent Spirit Awards, which he is co-hosting. And we've got your 3-day passes for Coachella as well this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Ralph, you're going to appreciate this little behind-the-scenes tale.
I can't wait.
So little Chip, who just works her heart out here.
She's
just
adorable. She's curled up in that thimble.
Sweetest little girl in the world.
Little pillow.
She's got a band.
He is a pillow. It's adorable.
She's got a band. What's your band called, Chip?
Well Hung Heart.
Right. Pretty popular Orange County band doing a show this weekend. So she's trying to drum up a little business. So she says to Kevin yesterday, she says, Kevin, if you could make some time today, I know you're busy. If you could make some time, if you could just retweet me. If you just retweet my tweet about my band, try to sell some tickets. If you just do that favor for me, it would just mean the world to me. So 10 o'clock goes by and then noon. Mm-hmm. Three and Chip's just sitting there looking at her phone, just going, "Come on, Kevin, come through for me, buddy. Come through for me." Mm-hmm. Gets to be 6 p.m.
Right,
9,
right.
midnight. She gives up. She goes to bed. She just cries herself to sleep. Just rubs her face into her pillow. Just weeps. Aww. Just weeps deep into the night.
So sad.
Gets up this morning. Runs to her phone.
Sure.
Still nothing from Kevin.
They're not that good. I got to be honest with you.
Just
I can't
just
support
a little help,
that.
Just 5 seconds of your time, Kevin. If you can just help me with my band, that's all I'm asking. I just want people to come out and see the show. It's a right. $5 show this weekend. Oh. Just come. Just help me out. That's all. I know. That's all. Yeah. That's all she was asking.
Hopefully, I'll have time today, though.
Look at what Chip does for Kevin on a day.
Right, but I'm saying hopefully.
Saves his ass.
Props him up.
Yeah.
Probably responsible for 40% of whatever Kevin's doing during the show.
Like if you had to be in the service, it'd be like dragging a comrade out of a foxhole every day.
Every single day. Multiple times, really.
She saves his life. And she asked for just that. This 5 seconds of help is all I want.
That's pretty busy.
Do that for me.
Pretty busy yesterday.
You're horrible.
So I thought you'd enjoy what's going on this side of the door, Ralph.
Or is it on Chip for asking Kevin to do a simple thing?
That's probably my bet.
Yeah, it's your bet. That's on you. That's on you.
Is that me?
Yeah, exactly. That's on you. That's yours. You own that. Yeah. Because if you go to the zoo and then you go to the monkey cage. And you say, hey, could you figure out this trigonometry problem for me? And then you sit there and you wait and you wait and you wait and your homework is due and you're waiting for the monkey to fill out your exam. Well, then, aren't you the fool for asking the monkey to do math?
All right, it's just unreal expectations.
I apologize. All right. That's my bad.
All right. Glad you learned your lesson.
Somehow now it's Chip's fault.
I like that.
5:54. It is Thursday morning. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Chip, by the way, send me the info. I'll be happy to tweet it out.
Thank you, Ralph.
They're not that good, Ralph. I'm telling you. Take a listen.
I'll take care of it. Ugh. Kevin's the worst, right?
Well, he didn't come through in this instance.
I did, so did Bean.
There you go.
Yeah,
Bean did, Kevin.
Well,
Bean
hurts.
Did.
Yeah.
Bean.
But Bean, that's what Bean does all day, every day.
No. He personalized it, and it was very nice.
He personalized it?
He
did. Help Chip out, that's
all. He bedazzled the tweet before
he
sent it out?
Well, no, he didn't just retweet it like a peasant, like I did.
Yeah, he said, see the band before I break it up. It's very nice.
Oh, that's adorable.
That's sweet.
He's all about saving hearts. We know that.
Oh, God.
The only person worse than Kevin, maybe, is Bobby Brown. This was a bombshell yesterday. Another day, another positive pregnancy test for Bobby Brown. Yeah, he is expecting his third child with his wife, Alicia Etheridge. They already share a 6-year-old son named Cassius, a 7-month-old daughter named Bodie. And, of course, he's got 3 adult children, Landon, LaPrincia, Bobby Jr., and, of course, the late Bobby Christina Brown. So I'm glad Bobby Brown's having more kids, because he seems like the kind of guy you want populating the world with his well-adjusted, well-raised children.
Sure.
That's not ideal.
No. But look, it's his prerogative if he wants to have kids or not, right? He gets to make that call. Right?
Nope.
Speaking of kids, Bobby Cannavale and Rose Byrne have a newborn son. We mentioned that when the baby was born. Bobby tells People magazine that their little son, Rocco, has an interesting middle name. It's after Rose's father. His middle name is Robin.
Rocco Robin?
Rocco Robin. The actor also tells People that Rocco Robin, he rocks in the treetops all day long.
Oh,
hopping and a-bopping and...
Really?
Ralph, what's happening?
So early.
All the little birdies, apparently, on Jay Bird Street love to hear Rocco Robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rocco Robin.
Get him the hell out of here.
I agree.
Come on.
And I found Dave's mortal enemy. You know how every Superman needs a Lex Luthor?
Right.
Every Batman needs a Joker. Well, now we have the King of Mexico's.
Okay. Is the King
super villain.
Is the King of Mexico Batman in this particular scenario?
Well, never. Okay. Never. In any scenario.
Okay, but I'm
Batman.
Saying he's the hero?
I don't know.
Okay.
They're just villains. They're opposing forces.
Okay.
Not every. What do you want me to do?
I'm just trying to clarify.
You want a backstory? You want a secret origin to Dave Sanchez? What his powers are?
How does he play into
lives?
This story?
Wow.
Is he our hero?
He's just a guy.
Okay.
And there's another guy.
Oh, all right.
And if they knew each other, they wouldn't like each other. That's the premise.
Okay.
But which one's a hero?
Oh,
right. That was my
sake.
Question. I don't understand.
I don't either.
This is why Kevin can't tweet, because his mind is filled with important questions.
That's right. Thank you, Ralph.
You know how Dave loves the fingerless gloves?
Yeah.
Because he's a desperate hipster who needs to have attention paid. And so he can walk and say, oh, look, I have no fingers on my gloves. Right? Isn't that cool? Keeps my palms warm, though. Because that's the part that gets cold on the slopes with my giant beard.
What's up?
Well.
We didn't talk about Dave growing his beard long so he would stay warm in
right,
Mammoth.
For the warmth. You've got to wrap that beard around you like a scarf.
The king of Mexico is bullshit.
Yeah. So Dave is a proponent of the fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
So what happens when he meets upscale French fashion label Vetements, which are now selling what they call finger gloves?
Only the fingers.
That's right. You heard me. It's a set of 10 bright red all leather adornments just for your fingers. There's no glove. It's just the finger part that you put on your fingers.
That's stupid.
Uh-huh. Yep. Right?
How do they stay on?
I guess you put them on your fingers.
Right.
And then they would just be on your fingers. I don't know. How does a ring stay on? How does anything...
Oh, great question.
These 10 beautiful finger adornments can be yours for the low, low price of $535, by the way, if you want to pick,
no.
up, if you want to pick up a set of finger gloves. Those,
really?
Those are
$5.35.
No, sir. You misunderstood me. $535 can buy you a set of 10 beautiful all-leather finger gloves. So you can just wear the fingers, and then your palms are nice and free for palm action.
What do you do with
that
your palms?
You may have, well, what do you do with your palms? That's the question that we're all asking. See, I don't think you heard me, but
yeah.
He rocks in the treetops
yeah, we
all
heard
day
that.
Long.
Yeah, no, we heard that.
Rocking
yeah. right.
and a bopping and a singing his song.
Right. There may be some people listening old enough to know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, maybe. Those who aren't should. Google.
Or... just let it go.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ric Flair, legendary wrestler, is 67 years old today. Comedian Carrot Top turns 51. Actress Taya Leone in one of the most popular television shows on network television right now, Madam Secretary, 50 years old. Sean Astin's 45. Comedian Chelsea Handler is 41 years old. Rashida Jones. How much do we love Rashida Jones?
All. She's awesome.
Oh, remember when she was on
nope.
The Office? Remember when Rashida
nope.
Jones was on The Office?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, she...
I don't.
She came onto the show late in its run because there was, you know, there was the cast of The Office, and then they added in another satellite office to Dunder Mifflin, the paper company where they worked.
Right, it's a little confusing to get your head around.
No, not really. She just came on the show, and she was working with Jim in another office when he got a transfer, and that's where we first fell in love with her. And I remember when we had her on the show... to celebrate the fact that she was on the Chip, this is the best I can
What's
do. I got nothing for you. I just remember when we talked to her about that. Some people had questions about how her role was integrated.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was a moment with Kevin.
That's a well-crafted question right there.
Oh, my God.
Right?
That's good work.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shut up, Allie. Okay, one more time.
We don't need to do it.
One more time.
Yeah.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Yeah.
Yep.
That happened.
That's right. You heard him.
Unfortunately, you did.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
Once I was 7 years old.
Me too, but I didn't write a song about it.
Right?
That's
right.
To your credit, right? It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 24 minutes after 6.
Actor Kamal Nanjiani on the program later on today. Hey, I almost said his name right. That's one of those names I have trouble with, man. Also, the great Jim Rome will join us. Next hour, we're going to take your calls of whether you have been arrested or reprimanded or disciplined for indecent exposure, Kevin. That's all coming up on KROQ Plus, a brand new Internet Roundup. I have been following this story since it broke last April in Britain, but the one of the largest bank robberies in British history happened last year. And the trial just ended this week, and the men involved, the co-conspirators, were found guilty. So they'll be spending a long time in jail, and all of them will die in jail because the main conspirators in this bank robbery are 76, 75, 67, and 60. They have been called the Grandpa Gang. Did you see the details of how they stole all this stuff, Kevin?
Yeah, they entered an elevator shaft, they climbed down, they drilled through like 20 inches of cement. I mean, it was
insane. When I first heard this, I thought they just went in, stole some money.
No, this is an Italian Job type robbery, and there's no question there's going to be a movie about this, right? There's no question.
Of course.
They stole from the bank 73 safe deposit boxes, by the way, including jewels, gold, and cash worth more than $20 million. Like I said, one of the largest burglaries in English legal history. The main guy on the case, Brian Reeder is his name. He's the oldest also. He is 76. He has already done jail time for a robbery back in the 80s at Heathrow Airport where he stole $40 million worth of gold bars.
Oh my God.
Is a baller, right?
You know what my favorite part is, though? That he got to the location by using his senior citizen bus pass.
He did.
I love that so much.
So 76-year-old Brian Reeder, the leader of the Grandpa Gang, before he is sentenced, we thought we'd get him on the phone and find out how he's doing. And he joins us on K-Rock right now. Hi, Mr. Reeder. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oi, how you doing?
we're doing fine. I'm sure you're very upset about the conviction being found guilty for this robbery.
Not really.
You're not?
No.
I'll be back at it. I'll be stealing more. Can't keep me down, mate.
Well, how many years did you get?
I don't know, 20.
And aren't you 76?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, I'm saying if when you're 96, I don't know that you're going to be back at it.
Listen up, you tosser.
Okay.
At 76 years old, I was drilling through concrete.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
crawling
you were.
Down elevator shafts.
That's true.
Yeah.
Stealing millions of pounds worth of gold, diamonds. Cash.
It's impressive.
It is impressive. I mean,
it's impressive. You can't do it now. So trust me, when I'm in my 90s,
all right.
I'll be knocking off banks, killing bobbies.
Okay, well, I hope you're not killing anybody. But
I hope you're not doing it. I bet you don't, you poofter.
Besides the obvious, that's where the cash is. What attracted you to a life of crime? You seem like a smart, resourceful guy. There's probably lots of other things you could have done legitimately.
Are you familiar with National Health?
This is the in Britain, this is when you go to hospital?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Something
right,
like
this is healthcare in healthcare your country.
System in England.
Right, yes.
Or when we go to hospital, you're a third grader.
Well, that's what that's how it's said in your country, Brian.
Yeah, but...
So go ahead. So the healthcare system, what's that have to do with you robbing banks?
You know how crappy it is. So you get to my age, you have certain medical needs.
Okay.
And the only way you can get them is to pay cash.
Oh, I see. So you needed a bunch of dollars. Okay.
I need a lot of dollars. How else are you going to get me Viagra?
Well, you have to get your Viagra, yeah.
Yeah, I do. Because that's how I got through the concrete wall.
It said, in the article, it said drilling, and I assumed
that's
that.
Right. I was drilling, mate.
I assumed
that was drilling real good.
With the drill.
I just got me a poster of Ursula Andress.
Because
very
she
timely.
Was popular and hot in the
Shut
early
up,
1960s.
Lady, I'm old. So a woman in the 60s would be attractive to me.
Okay. All right.
Timely reference. I put up a poster and I started drilling.
Right.
You started drilling, right.
And the next thing you know, bang!
Meaning you got through 20 inches of concrete.
No. I mean, I broke my penis.
Oh, that's sad.
But then we go in with a regular top drill.
Right, after you had sex with the wall.
After the broken penis incident.
Right.
Which is what they're now calling it.
Okay.
And I was able to get inside the vault, and then we cleaned them out. Mm-hmm. And so now I thought, you know, with all the extra cash, I could get all the Viagra I needed and take care of all my ailments.
Okay.
Including
well.
My horrible IBS.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
It's horrible.
Nope.
I'm sorry
yeah,
to hear
is.
That, Mr. Nope. Reader. That's...
That's how we got through the wall after my penis broke. I just
really?
Bent over and blasted through it.
Oh, that's what the bang was?
No, the bang was the broken penis. Pay attention.
Oh, sorry.
The bang was the broken penis. And then
so then
I,
you turned around.
I turned around.
Right. Right. Okay, we don't need... We don't, no, please don't. Come on, Brian. Oh, no, again with this. Okay. We've been talking to Brian Reeder from the Grandpa Gang. All right, now it's getting impressive.
Started out gross, but now...
Yeah.
Now I'm intrigued.
Props.
Oh, it does sound like a drill.
Wow. He wasn't kidding about the IVF.
So he gently pushed it over, apparently.
Ouch.
Wow. I just feel for the other three guys in the gang.
Much of the loot was rendered unusable.
So the internet, right?
Right.
I saw a thing today. I wish I had saved it, but it was an article about how many websites there are in the world. And
sounds
take
exciting.
A guess.
It sounds
how many websites
five
do you think
billion.
There are in the world?
Five
one, what? I'm
sorry. 5 billion.
1.2 right. quintillion.
All right. Allie, what's your guess?
A zillion.
10.
All right.
Chip says 10.
Chip says 10? Well, the answer is I don't remember. I'm going to have to find the article
what
and get back to you.
What are you doing?
I don't remember, but it was a lot.
But
and
why
my,
would
reason,
you?
The reason I bring that up is because with so many websites and so much content going up every second online, it's impossible to keep up with all of it. And that's why we put all the best viral videos of the week together in one location at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. We call it the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup, baby.
And the man who pulls the strings is our friend Dave Sanchez, our producer on the Kevin and Bean Show, the King of Mexico, who joins us in studio. Hey, Dave.
Hi, everybody.
I have some problems with video number one that you've selected. This is a kid on an obstacle course. And I don't know what they call the thing, but it's like a padded arm that spins around, and you're supposed to try to get past it in between when it's spinning.
Yeah, you jump
and
over it. Easy.
Jump
this,
over,
this,
duck under it.
Yeah,
somehow
get, easy.
You
know,
avoid it, right?
Easy.
Well, this kid
easy.
Cannot get past that part of the obstacle course, and every time he stands up, he gets hit in the head with this giant thing. And the adult who seems to be filming it, or an adult nearby, whoever's filming it, is laughing hysterically over a little kid getting hit in the head and knocked down. Now, are we all comfortable
yes,
with that?
Yes, he's having a great time. The kid right, is laughing.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Let's hear it.
It takes him out like 15 times in a row. It's magic.
And in 15 different ways. The kid's trying to go under it.
Nope.
Over it. Nope. Sideways. Ah.
Sweet. This kid is not a winner. All right, this is Pebbles the cockatoo, and her owner is filming a tantrum that this bird is throwing. And this bird seems to be able to speak a lot of English, much of which has to be beeped out.
Come here. Really? Pebble. Some people don't like to listen to that kind of talk out of you.
All right. This is real, by the way. This is not an unnecessary censorship situation
yeah.
like on Kimmel's show. This is a bird who is obsessed with the F word. And every beep you heard was the bird using the F word.
I wonder where he got that from.
I love a dirty cockatoo.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Oh, we can so edit that tape. up next, our friends at the Honest Trailers are taking on the Academy Awards, which are Sunday night, where they're talking about all of the movies that are up for Best Picture. And in this particular clip, they're discussing The Revenant.
D-
deep in the woods of North Dakota, revenge is a dish best served cold. Like, so cold you have to sleep inside a horse. But we really want to do an actual honest trailer for this movie. And we don't have the footage yet. So we're saving our best jokes for later. Long story short, Leo grunts his way to an Oscar.
See, because that one hasn't been released for home video yet, so they don't have it.
That's Leo.
I don't get what the deal is with this Seth Rogen video. It's for a new web site called Mary Jane. And you know, Seth is a big pothead. And this is not a funny video. This is a serious instructional video that Seth Rogen does teaching you, the viewer, how to roll the perfect joint.
Now, before you light your joint, you might want to do what me and my friends always called baptizing your joint. And that is taking your joint and kind of covering it in your spit. It's gross, but it makes the joint burn a little slower, which is a little better.
It is a step-by-step guide on how to roll a marijuana joint. So that's from Seth Rogen. Rolling with Rogen, it's called.
I tried it. It didn't work. It's hard.
All right.
Okay.
Eva Longoria has a very popular TV show on right now on ABC called Telenovela, and she plays a soap opera star on the show. And in the tradition of being a soap opera star, she decided to act out the lyrics to the song Wannabe by the Spice Girls, which has recently celebrated its 20th anniversary. So again, here's Eva Longoria in soap opera style acting out Wannabe.
I'll tell you what I want. What I really, really want. So tell me what you want. What you really, really want. I want a hug. I want a hug. I want a hug. I want a hug. I want a really, really, really want a zigga zigga.
She's adorable. Kevin, how do our listeners know Frankie McDonald?
As the weatherman from Nova Scotia that warns us about every storm coming our way.
And we all are huge fans of Frankie, no more so than our friend DJ Omar Khan, who has put together a tribute video to Frankie McDonald, where he edited together a bunch of clips of Frankie doing the weather and also wrote a very touching song about him.
Gonna be a lot of Frank.
He will let us know if there is rain or a tornado. He's the weatherman who is a true hero.
It's really, as everything Omar does, well done. And Omar will not stop singing.
Yeah.
He hears that, right? And he continues to sing.
Well, that sounded good for
you
Omar.
You got to give him credit for that.
That sounded good.
But it's going to stay in your head.
Frankie.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Anthony Vincent is a name you don't know, but you will recognize him when I tell you that he's the guy who does 10-second songs. He'll sit down, and in the style of lots of different musical artists, he'll sing a hit song. And this time he's doing Justin Bieber's number one record, Sorry, and he does it as Kanye West, then as the Village People, then as Creed, and then he ends in this clip with some Milli Vanilli. Again, here's Justin Bieber's Sorry. Your Milli Vanilli, which is why it gets stuck. See, because here's a great video that somebody edited together where what if Donald Trump were in Westeros? Here's the future president of the United States on Game of Thrones. It's really well done.
I'm giving you Commander Greyguard.
No deals. No deals. We don't make deals. Not with anybody. We don't make deals.
You mistake me, my lord. That was a command.
No. Excuse me. Just so you understand. We need people that know what they're doing. We don't need babies.
You refusing to obey my order?
Yeah. By the way, I think you could say that, yeah.
Ollie, bring me my sword.
I'm glad we're going to elect a man who says, we don't make deals with anybody.
That's the art of the deal, man.
That's right. And finally, on this edition of the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, this was from a couple of episodes ago on The Walking Dead, Sunday nights at AMC. There was a guy named Jesus that Rick and Daryl picked up in a truck, and he somehow got out of the truck, and they started chasing him around a field. And it was actually a pretty comical scene for The Walking Dead. There's not a lot of light moments on that show. But somebody saw them running around in the field and said, this would be so much better with the music from Benny Hill, and it is.
That son of a bitch is on the roof. Hold on.
everything better, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
You can see all these videos and so much more at KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com. It's this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup, Roundup.
Come on, it might be my last day, you guys.
I hope everyone enjoys the final Kevin and Bean show. It's going to be...
During that Muse song, Bean just stroked right out.
It's going to be touching. A farewell tribute will be compiled for tomorrow's show. So,
and let me tell you what's scary,
rest
Kevin,
in peace, Bean.
Is before you came in today, I was asking for Omar something. You know, in the other room, he...
Yes.
And I
couldn't form any words.
Yeah.
I was just... Like now, I was trying so hard to ask him a question, and I got like three words in, none of which were related.
Yes.
And he still was able to. Fortunately, he speaks speed, so he was able to help me out. But I'm definitely having trouble putting sentences together today, and I am concerned. Do you think it could be a stroke, Ralph?
Welcome to my life.
Is that a sign of a stroke? Is when you have trouble putting sentences together?
It's one of them.
Okay.
Do you taste pennies?
Do you smell?
Yes.
Do you smell toast?
Is that good?
Yeah, those are all bad.
Hey, listen. If you could help me,
what's going on?
I don't know. Let's just
everybody
sit back,
just back up and let
relax.
Them sack.
Just get your popcorn.
What you got, Beans?
It's heavy rotation time. If you could help me or you've got something else you want to talk about on the show, you've got a question, you've got a comment, there's a TV show, there's a thing that's happening.
So they could call about a thing
that's happening?
If they want to call about a thing. If you've got a complaint, if you've got a comment, we want to hear
complaint.
From you.
I'm going to go to the other room and call in.
You're welcome to, Ralph. Anyone can. It's 1-800-520-1067. That is the number here at KROQ. It's our feature called What's Good, where we turn over part of the show to you. Like yesterday. Ralph, I didn't get your opinion. What about the guy who called on What's Good yesterday who wanted to give his baby son the middle name Kenobi? Are you for or against that?
That's dumb.
That's what I said.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Bean was all about it.
No, it's nothing like a religion now in the world.
Yep.
And it's acceptable. Well, no, it's dumb.
Everybody loves Star Wars. That
fine, go
rule.
Love Star Wars, but don't name your kids after characters.
But why not? Don't you think? Look, lots of
names. I'm
going to
name my kid Toucan Sam because I like cereal. Ooh,
right,
Fruit Loops.
But lots of names that are now considered regular names sprung out of movies and TV shows and books and things like that, because once something seeps into the pop culture, then it's everyone's. And Kenobi is a very legitimate name.
No, it's not. It's a made-up
name. And
Allie
was right. The kid's first name needs to be Ben, too.
Yeah, you're right. Let's just F with the kid. Let's just use the kid for our just a second of entertainment pleasure and then saddle a kid with that for the rest of his life. That seems like a good idea.
How is the kid saddled with a name that everybody knows, the name that has nothing but positive associations with? I mean, that's a great name.
Hey, Bean.
Yeah.
Taking up all the showbiz time for this.
1-800-520-1067. Kevin Beans, what's good? Your calls on any topic coming up. Here's Ralph.
Big action on the set of Ray Donovan last week. By the way, when's that coming back?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Love that show.
I think April, maybe?
Last Friday, there was a homeless man on the set who refused to leave. Sources tell TMZ that off-duty police officers were working security on Venice Beach when it all went down, and they told the guy to back away from Liev Schreiber, star of the show, several times. The guy would not, and then unfortunately, he took a swing at Liev Schreiber and tried to escape, but then he was shot with a taser gun.
Oh, man.
Restrained and charged with battery. Not only against the star, but also on a cop that he took a swing at. So then Liev Schreiber went into his trunk, got out a baseball bat.
I don't think
that. Took off his sports coat.
Nope.
Rolled up the sleeves of his expensive linen dress shirt and just beat the guy to death.
Nope.
Then he took the body to a construction site.
That's Ray Donovan.
They were building
that's a TV show.
Cancer treatment center.
That's from Ray Donovan.
And buried him in the foundation of the building.
It's on an HBO show.
Then.
Showtime.
He went home to his wife.
Showtime,
Liev Schreiber did. Yeah. Don't play along, Kevin. You just hurt yourself and others.
I love you.
Why stop now?
Maybe it's time for the Kevin and Bean Show to revisit one of its phone-in topics of biggest lie you were ever caught in. Because Kim Richards, you know her from The Real Housewives, she whined to a judge yesterday that she simply could not perform her court-ordered community service because she had a nasty foot injury. She was incapacitated, not physically capable to fulfill what the court demanded of her. That's when prosecutors pulled out photos of Kim wearing high heels on a red carpet event.
Oh. Wow.
Just days before.
Oops. Oh, that's such a big liar.
That's such a big liar. So now she has to return to court on June 1st with proof that she is either enrolled in the community labor program that she was sentenced to, or she has to have a doctor's note saying that she's effed up.
Hmm. And that would be a medical diagnosis?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Effed up?
Yeah. They do that in hospital. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ric Flair, the legendary wrestler, is 67 years old today. Comedian Carrot Top, 51. Alexis Denisov, the actor, is 50 years old. Tia Leone, also 50. Sean Astin's 45. Chelsea Handler's 41 years old today. And actress Rashida Jones celebrates her 40th birthday. I don't know if you know Rashida Jones, and I may remember her mostly from The Office. She came on later in the season when Jim was transferred to another office of the Dunder Mifflin Paper Company where everybody worked. Thing was, she wasn't in the original cast, and we talked to her after she joined the show, and there seemed to be some confusion on Kevin's part as to where she fit into the scenario.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah.
I remember there being an outside office. Did they? Were they just meet under the trees?
No, I didn't. They may not have said that correctly.
Just confused as to
possible. It's on me.
That one's on you?
Yeah. I'll take responsibility for that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1-800-520-1067. Time for your phone calls. It's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
I love this feature. I love that we do this on days that we have time because I'm interested always in hearing what is on your mind. And let's start with Diego. If we can help him on line two in Pomona, Kevin, we might be able to help millions of people. Because this is the universal struggle of living in Southern California. Hey, Diego, welcome to the show. You're our first caller for What's Good.
Guys, love the show. You get me through this every morning. But this morning, I got a half-hour add-on to my traffic drive. I hate traffic. I'm just miserable and angry and sad.
How long were you in traffic this morning?
Totally. I am in traffic for an hour and a half.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, so two things here. First of all, you're never in traffic. You are the traffic. Keep that in mind.
Oh, that's helpful.
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah, that's real helpful.
What just happened?
What I'm saying is you're part of the problem. It's not everybody else. It's not the other a-holes that are out on the road. So if you keep in mind that you're contributing to the problem, that makes it a little less frustrating, I think, because you're partly to blame. Okay, I hope that helps.
Really? You think this is helping Diego?
So first of all,
this just pissed me off, and I'm not.
First of all, Diego, you're a dick. That's a piece of
horrible
person.
That's
what Bean is saying.
I'm saying you're
okay. What traffic do you face, Bean? You literally have to just go open your chocolate milk every morning. That's the most traffic you get from
boom.
The sofa
right
between you and your chocolate milk and.
But we're talking about you, and I'm trying
like
to help
Diego.
You.
I'm trying to help him.
I am.
No,
I'm telling
not.
You.
You started off telling him he's part of the problem.
He is part of the problem, and I think that makes it easier because you're not just sitting around seething and blaming everybody else because you are the traffic for those other people. You're the a-hole who's on the road that's stopping the guy behind you from getting to where he wants to go.
Wow.
Jesus. So you are part of the problem, and I think that helps to look at it that way.
This is why we can't let Bean out in the public.
Diego, secondly, does that help you out, first of all? Does that help?
No, I just got even angrier.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay, all right,
same.
So that didn't help. All right, then I've got a second suggestion. I told you I had a two-part answer.
I feel like if part one is a strike, you don't get a second strike, my friend.
Of course you do, because there's three in a game. All right, here's the second solution, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong on this one, too. It's called the Auto Blow 2.
Oh, jeez. Not the one, not the original.
The one was fine at its time, but we've moved past that. The Auto Blow 2 gives you something to look forward to in traffic and makes the time go faster.
Diego, does that help?
We aren't all obsessed with sex robots, so I don't even know what the Auto Blow 2 is, but...
Well, I think you can figure it out.
Oh, you know what it is.
I think you can figure it out. All right. Diego, I'm sorry to hear you're having a rough morning together, but thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate you calling in, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Oh, and you're part of the problem.
He is part of the problem.
You're the one.
All right, let's try George in Venice.
Were you sincerely trying to help?
Yes, it does help if you realize it's not everybody else getting in your way to stop you.
Doesn't help one bit.
Not a bit, no.
Well, I thought it would.
Well, you're wrong. Let's go to George in Venice. Hi, George.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You guys are not crazy about solutions that are logical, by the way. You guys are looking for emotional solutions, and you know that's not my strong suit.
Really?
George, what can we do for you? Thanks for calling. What's good?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Bean his input on Ebola. I mean, it was around for a very long time, and you couldn't get away from it. Now, all of a sudden, it's all gone. What's up with that?
George, you're part of the problem. If I could speak on Bean's behalf.
I'm not sure what you're asking. I'm against Ebola. Is that what you want to know? Are you asking how they beat Ebola?
Yeah, is it beat? Or I mean, it was around for, like, you couldn't get away from it, and then all of a sudden, it's, like, gone.
Yeah,
George
misses
Ebola.
He does.
It was the biggest fear in the world. We were all going to die by Ebola. But basically what happened is people just got smarter about how to stop its transmission. It's just the more information that was out there among the people and among health professionals, the better they got at stopping the transmission. So the poor people that had it died, but it didn't get spread on to other people. That's all it is. I mean, it's not gone. It still is in some people. Thousands of people still in Africa have it. But we're doing better at not spreading it, and that's why we don't have to worry about it in America anymore.
I think the main reason that it's not spreading is this song.
Ebola, Ebola, don't touch your friend.
Maybe so.
No eating something.
That's good advice. Yeah. All right, George, you satisfied with that answer?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, thank you for the call, sir. Let's talk to Joshua. He's in Encino. He's on line 5. He's going back to a conversation we were having earlier about people who name their kids after movies, TV shows, books, things like that. Kevin and Ralph seem to think that that's a dumb idea. I say those names have become so widespread and so popular that they're mainstream now. And 20 years from now, people aren't even going to remember it came from a movie in most cases. Joshua, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are good.
So growing up, my best friend was a huge Star Wars fan back in the early 80s and stuff when I met him in second grade. So now it turns around, he's got an 8-year-old boy that he named Anakin after Anakin Skywalker.
Okay, now tell us what it's like for that little boy being named Anakin. Has it been a blessing or has it been a curse?
I don't think it's been a curse at all. I think he kind of likes it. A couple years ago, I talked to him. I was like, you know, you're named after a mass murderer, right?
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, you're setting this kid up for the dark side. Naming
well,
him Anakin.
But nobody thinks the kid is Darth Vader. They just know his name's Anakin, which is the name I know and like.
Well, I told him I can relate because my name is Joshua, so I was kind of named after a mass murderer myself.
Really?
Joshua from the Bible, back in the day.
You're going way back. Okay. All right.
Joshua, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to need you for Would You Like to Take That Back in a future episode. You hold on.
Thank you for the call.
Bye. Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Joshua.
That's what he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
I got an email from a listener her name is Wendy, which is, she pointed out, was a name that was created by the guy who wrote Peter Pan. Wendy wasn't a name that existed. It's a name that he made up for that book. And I'm sure at the time when people were named Wendy, people thought, what the hell is Wendy? Oh, from the book? And now you don't even think about it. It's just a name. And that's the same thing that's going to happen with Anakin.
Okay, you're right, Bean. You're right.
I am right on this one.
Yeah,
all right, let's
do
one more.
Let's
go to line 9. This is going to be Chip in Culver City. Hi, Chip. You're on the air. What's good?
Am I on the air?
Yes, Chip. You're on the air. What can we do for you?
I need some advice with something.
Sure.
How do I get Kevin to retweet something that I tweeted?
Chip, aren't you supposed to be in the studio with me?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm very busy.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know Chip is in a band. It's called Well Hung Heart, and they are playing a festival called Feedback Festival in Orange County. It's going to be Saturday night. Tickets on sale now for just $5. Just look for Feedback Festival. Did you try asking Kevin, hey, could you just retweet me?
I tried asking him. The band has very many louds. Full of louds. You would think that would be enough to get Kevin to retweet it. It's a button. One little button.
It's very busy. I was very busy.
Ralph Garman just stepped in. Maybe he's got some help for Chip.
Well, I just want to let Chip know that I did tweet out the information.
I did tweet. I did see that. Thank you so much, Ralph.
You're very welcome, Chip. I'm happy to support you and your art and your band. And
thank
I'm happy
you so
for
much.
You. And it's a pleasure.
You're a
and
great person.
It's a small thing. It's a little thing to do for someone that you work with and that you care about. So it was the least I could do, Chip.
Thank
it was,
you, Ralph.
And it was. I was stunned at how simple it was.
How easy, right?
How long did it take, Ralph?
The better part of 20, 30 seconds.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that is,
so
that's
a bit
commitment.
Of a commitment.
Yeah.
I didn't have that yesterday.
I think Chip was worth it.
I'd like to also add, Chip, that I was happy to be able to retweet the information
that
you put up because your band is very, very good, and I think a lot of our listeners will enjoy going, and it's just $5, and why the hell not?
But,
I mean,
would you
do so much for us, why can't I do a little something
why
back
not
for
Bean?
You?
This is America.
Right. You know exactly. what, Chip? I, too, was very, very honored, really, to just be able to do my part, just a little part for everything you have done for us. Yeah. My God, you're not asking much.
That's the least we could do.
It's $5 to see your band. That is a bargain.
That is
right?
a bargain.
At twice the price.
Absolutely.
Hey, there's a reason it's $5. What are you saying, Kevin?
Kevin.
How dare you?
What's good?
Jim Rome talks sports coming up at 8 o'clock this morning like he do on Thursdays. Dr. Drew later on, and we'll talk to actor Kumail Nanjiani as well. Yesterday, I got to tell you, I was pleased with how it went with Eric Andre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's great.
Because he is usually impossible to corral, and he was sick yesterday, so he was down about 30 notches, and he was manageable. And we actually were able to have a great chat. He's on the Men Seeking Woman show and his own Eric Andre show. He's a very talented, very funny guy, and we actually had a great time with him on and off the air yesterday. And I think the story that we're going to bring up now is something that he told us off the air, maybe?
I thought it was on.
Might have been. Yeah. But he was talking about, we were wondering what a guy like Eric Andre must have been like as a kid, because he's so manic now and he gets so much joy out of making people around him uncomfortable. And he's always putting up Instagram pictures of him naked. So I asked him, what were you like as a kid, like in school? And he said he was a real problem child because he was super smart. He got straight A's in all of his classes, but that he was always getting in trouble for pranks. He was always getting in trouble for being naked, for mooning classmates and stuff like that. And that's the type of thing you're going to get disciplined for in school, is if you drop your pants, right? Mm-hmm. So we thought, it's been a long time since we've talked about our listeners and their indecent exposure charges. We're not talking about sex crimes here. We're talking about public nudity that you got disciplined for, or you got arrested for, or charged with somehow. And we didn't have to look very far around this room, Kevin, to find somebody who may have lost an item of clothing or two along the way.
Well, I was driving around our local Little League park.
This is not
in a white panel van.
What's happening?
I don't know. And I was selling ice cream.
I was underage. I was young. I was a kid. And we were in the back of a truck, and all of us thought it would be funny to moon. And there was a cop sitting right there in his car that we just didn't see.
Okay.
So he pulled us over and wrote us some kind of ticket. I don't remember what it was. It was some kind of
fix-it ticket.
No,
fix
not
that ass.
You got to do something with that ass, son.
You need to step up your ass game.
Was it the type of thing? How old were you? What are we talking? Are you 13 or are you 17?
No,
what are
probably
you?
Probably 13, 14.
Okay.
15.
Maybe. Was it the type of thing coming from a police officer that got back to your parents?
Yes.
Oh, and yeah, you were not. Have any memory of what was how that went over?
Yeah, it didn't go over well, Bean. That might be a surprise to you. It didn't make them happy. Remember, Eric Andre said his mom went down to school, and she said, well, that's just funny.
Yeah.
That wasn't my mom.
No.
No, not your mom's reaction.
No.
Was there a fine or nothing went on your record,
I'm sure. I don't remember. No, I don't think so. He was just like, you know, this is really dumb. And we were like, yeah, you know, you're right.
Now that you mentioned it. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your stories of being disciplined for or charged with indecent exposure. You showed body parts in public that you weren't supposed to. That's the story we want to hear. Allie, has it ever happened to you?
It hasn't. It happened to my brother in elementary school.
What was his story?
He was a slee stack from Land of the Lost out on the playground. And he didn't have a secret power, so his secret power was his penis. And he got in huge trouble from the school.
Wait, now you can't show your penis on the playground?
Ridiculous. I mean, I considered that commitment to the character.
Right.
The principal did not.
Well, the principal is short-sighted.
Yeah.
Was it a suspension situation?
I think it was a week suspension.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Lightning, and our former producer, is in here. Hey, Lightning.
Hey, Lightning. Good morning, guys.
What's going on, young man?
How you doing? Well, it wasn't me that was naked, necessarily.
Yeah.
It was the wife a few years back. She had a set of new bolt-ons installed, and she was excited to show those off. And we were in Havasu, and we were going to the channel. It was
How do you get in trouble in Havasu?
Right?
You could be, like, boning on the boat, and people are like, whoa!
They've cracked down in the last decade or so. And so we were cruising through the channel. It was, like, a busy weekend. And guys are throwing beads from the shore to the boats passing by, trying to get the girls to lift up their tops. And we all warned her, there's cops out on the beach, don't do this, you know, like we don't want to get in trouble. And she just didn't pay attention. And she saw these big beads coming at her and just, you know, shared with the people on the sand. And
that's nice of her, by the way.
And right behind the guy that she was flashing, two armed officers.
But you guys were on a boat. How did they even get to you?
Flags us over, and there's boats also in the water with cops on them, and they pull us over, and she goes right into the paddy wagon and right to jail.
No!
Yes.
Sweet!
And spent the night in jail. I camped out in front of it waiting for her.
But, like, didn't write a ticket.
She ended up getting some kind of ticket or whatever, but she
waited outside the jail?
I waited outside the jail.
Did you have a boombox on your shoulder?
I had to borrow...
In your eyes.
Cost me $600 to get her out of jail the next morning, and she had to go back a month later for some kind of trial BS or some kind of something. No, not kidding.
Lightning. For a pair of boobies.
Yeah.
Lightning, tell us the truth. There must have been more going on. You don't spend literally a night in jail for showing your boobs.
I'm telling you, there were other girls who had done the same thing on the same day in jail with her. Yes, they were cracking down.
That's unbelievable.
The community is not having those shenanigans anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sucked.
That's just
Lake
Havasu
sucked.
Gets no more on my business, by the way, if that's the way they're going to handle it.
Because you've got nice cans.
That just must have been so shocking for you, and not at all the relaxing Havasu weekend that you guys were planning on.
No, it ruined it. And I was concerned. I'm like, why is my wife going to jail? But those are nice tatas.
So it all works out in the end.
Thank you very much. Let's take one call before the break. Let's make it Eric in Southgate. He's on line 2, 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for your public nudity stories. You got in trouble, reprimanded, arrested, or suspended for showing body parts you shouldn't have. Eric, what's going on, dude?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Actually, this didn't happen in the States. This actually happened in Mexico. I was partying with a bunch of cousins after being quietly intoxicated. We tried to, of course, get a bite to eat. And not realizing I must have lost my belt somewhere in the car, who knows what. We had a few other girls with us.
Okay.
And what ended up happening, we were eating our food. I have my pants dropped, and people were just like laughing. I didn't care. You know, who cares? I'm already drunk. I'm in Mexico. We're talking about a deep part of Mexico, not just Tijuana.
Right.
And apparently the cops rolled up, and they were about to order some food, but then they saw what was going on. They wanted to take me in, and of course, I guess I was being cocky at that point. I just said, well, how much is it going to cost to keep me away from that car? And they go, why? I go, oh, I got $20. Oh, you're American? I'm like, yeah, okay. So they took the $20, and that's it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they let me be. They didn't take me in. And apparently, actually, my cousin, I guess, found some type of rope or something. I just kind of pulled my pants together there while I was just eating. So
it wasn't, I mean, you were drunk, like you said, so you really didn't care that much, but it wasn't even intentional nudity. It was just you didn't have a belt, so your pants fell down, and that's why the cops rolled up on you.
Yeah.
I like the level of drunk where you go, my pants are gone.
Eh. Eric, you weren't wearing any undies?
Of course I was, but I guess they were probably pulled down by the pants a little bit, so I must have been showing a little bit of...
too much ass.
Just $20 worth, though.
Yeah.
$20 worth of butt, right. All right, sir, thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are this time and next on K-Rock.
Hey, bud. I just got the new Fall Out Boy song on my B-Cast phone. It gets me pumped!
Well, I understand where you're coming from there, sir. We'll talk to Jim Rome on Sports in Minutes, and don't forget, keep listening for your chance to win a pair of sold-out three-day passes to Coachella and be on the standby boarding list to see any band on the bill anywhere in the world. Kevin, before we go back to the phone calls, for folks just tuning in, what are we talking about here?
We're talking about indecent exposure that's funny and not wasn't a crime, necessarily. You got in trouble for it.
Well, they're all crimes.
Well, right. But I'm saying you got in trouble for it, but it's funny. We'd like to err on the side of funny rather than tragic.
No sex crimes, I think, is what Kevin has tried to say here. So if you had some public nudity that got you in trouble, you were suspended, or better yet, you were arrested, we want to hear from you. It happened to Kevin. Too bad if you just tuned in, you missed that story. Why don't we start with, let's start with our new girlfriend, Morgan. She is on line 3 in Los Angeles. Hey, Morgan, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kevin and Ben. How are you?
We are good. How are you?
Wonderful.
So what happened, Morgan?
So I had just moved to Los Angeles from France for a new job, and this was like 10 years ago in 2006. And after a few weeks, I had French friends visiting L.A., and we decided to head out to the beach. And, of course, what's more iconic beach for us than going to Santa Monica?
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
Here we are now. We go to Santa Monica, sit down on the beach with our towels and so on, and decide to remove our tops off because that's what you do in France. It's normal to be topless on the beach.
It should be what you do here as well.
I know, right? So here we are, topless on the beach, and I don't know, in a matter of just minutes, the police shows up, and he's like, hi, ladies, and we're like, hi, not trying to hide anything, you know, we're just like, what's going on?
Yeah, you didn't know, right.
And we have no idea, and he's like, I'm going to ask you to put your top back on.
See, that's...
And we're looking at him like, it's a joke, it's not serious. and we're like, why? And he realized at that point that we're not from there. And he's like, it's not legal in California. And he's like kind of being mean. And my friends who are living within the next few days are just giggling and laughing. They're not taking the thing seriously.
It's kind of embarrassing. Look, the truth of the matter is, so many countries of the world, topless beaches happen, and the country is no poorer for it. People aren't dying. Nobody's getting hurt. It just is a way of life. Like, why can't we do that here, Morgan?
I have no idea. It was just so strange. And that was actually my first interaction with the police.
Well, you did the right thing, Morgan.
You keep doing what you're doing.
You keep doing what you're doing. Don't let the man keep you down, all right?
Right. We do my best.
All right. Thank you for the call, my dear. Appreciate that. All right. Let's try. Wow. Look at this. Let's try David. He's in Long Beach. He's on line 5. He's up next. We're talking a big fine here.
Hey, David.
Oh, good morning.
So what happened to you, sir?
It was like in the 80s. I was 21 years old. I just turned 21. And I was at a party at a friend's house. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I decided to leave. I wasn't real drunk or anything, but I was getting ready to get on the freeway, and I had to go to the bathroom. So I stopped behind this liquor store to do a number one, you know, go pee. And
wait, I'm sorry. Clarify the number one for me again, please.
It's pee.
Yeah, he stopped to urinate. All right, what happened?
Yeah, and then right in the middle of doing my thing, a cop pulls up with a spotlight on me and with his loudspeaker tells me to turn around. And like I said, I was right in the middle of taking care of business. So I turned around. He told me to put my hands up. I put my hands up, and you know how it is. Once you start going pee, you can't stop. And so,
yeah. No, Kevin, there's nothing sexy about this at all.
Yeah.
He's taking his hands up.
His hands
are up,
hands
and he's still,
cop's
and he's
like,
still
let
peeing.
Let me flash this light right on it.
And let me frisk
no,
you.
No, yeah. This isn't a sexy
what?
Thing at all.
Are you
this
sure?
Is a, this is a tight spot yeah, for David. All right.
Oh.
It was a little embarrassing, but when it... The cop came up to me. He told me to pull my pants or zip my pants up. I zipped them up. He read me my rights and told me he could take me to jail for this because it was indecent exposure. And I wasn't so much worried about going to jail. I was more worried about what my dad was going to do to me.
Yeah.
But, all right. Look, listen, the show ends at 10, so we don't have much more time for your story here. But I will say, how is it indecent exposure if you're in an alley by yourself peeing and nobody in the world is seeing it except the police officer who rolls up on you with a light?
That's what I thought. It ended up being an $800 ticket.
$800?
Yes, sir.
Best pee of your life.
Yeah, that is an expensive pee. Thank you for the call, David.
I just remembered that Bean and I were caught doing the exact same thing outside of a nightclub that we were going to in Orange County. Both of us at the same time. Do you remember that,
Bean? You were peeing together?
Yes.
Hit the music, Steve.
First of all, it was a sword fight. It wasn't just that we were peeing together. No,
and
we
the
were...
light came on us, and the guy's like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah,
I just remembered this.
No, that definitely happened. We back in the early days of the Kevin and Bean Show, we used to do occasional nightclub appearances. This was a place down in Irvine, and we worked there till the end, till last call, and
yeah,
then we left
we
the place.
There.
Yeah, you worked.
And
that
we're
in.
Heading to our cars, and we're chatting, and next thing you know, we're peeing in the bushes, and yeah, the police officer came up, and fortunately let us go, but it could have been us. We could have had that $800 fine.
Yeah.
Those were good times, weren't they? All right, let's do one more real quick. Let's go to San Clemente, talk to our man Tim. He's on line at 6, please.
All right, Tim, hi.
Kevin, Bean, Ralph, love you guys. Allie, you're my boy, Blue.
Oh, Timmy.
So what happened? How'd you end up naked?
All right, I'll make a quick story out of this. Me and my boys in Santa Ana, 1 o'clock in the morning, we're drinking. I don't know how it came up. They started betting me I wouldn't run through the bar, out the front door, around the back, around the side, through the back door. And it got up to $300.
Naked.
So,
they bet you wouldn't do it naked. Okay.
Oh, my.
So I went to the bathroom. I got naked. I kept my work boots on because it was a dive bar,
Sure.
I don't want to get dirty. Yeah. So I go out, and I'm running through the bar. I get out the front door, go around the back. My guys thought it'd be funny to lock the back door.
Your guys did the right thing. They did the right thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I run out to the front door, and they locked that
That's
one,
locked.
Too.
Good for them. Oh.
All right. Your friends are 100%.
Naked.
Yep. So I'm in Santa Ana, short, white, naked with work boots on, and here comes Santa Ana police rolling up the light. Yeah, good times.
Were you able to talk your way out of it as just being a silly prank, or did you end up getting arrested or have a fine?
No, they gave me a ticket, but they thought it was funny and let me go.
Nice.
It was funny. And by the way, your friends. Come on, let's
That's
hear it again.
Right.
Your friends.
Standing up for your friends.
That's awesome.
A job well done.
Can't get any friends better.
Thanks for calling. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Thursday morning, Ralph Garvin is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
We were just talking about Liev Schreiber from Ray Donovan in the last Showbiz Beat. He is working on a new film, which I, for one, can't wait to see, called The Bleeder.
Yes?
As you can imagine, story of the legendary Bayonne Bleeder himself. Kevin, who of course was...
Paul.
No?
I don't know what that is.
The Bayonne Bleeder.
I don't know who that is.
Is this a hockey player we're talking about?
Jesus. Bayonne Bleeder means nothing to you?
It does. I don't recognize
those
at all.
Yeah. How about the name Chuck Wepner? Does that ring a bell at all? Chuck Wepner?
Nope.
I'm sorry,
Judge
no.
Wapner?
No, not Judge Wapner. Chuck Wepner.
I think you've got the whole room stumped here.
Well,
where are you, Chuck?
Where are you, Chuck, indeed? Chuck Wepner is a legend...
Okay.
In the
sure.
boxing community,
mm-hmm.
he was the club fighter out of Jersey who was supposed to be a tomato can to go up against world champion Muhammad Ali. And not only did he come within seconds of beating the champ, but he went 15 rounds with Muhammad Ali when at the time he was supposed to be a cream puff. 1975, this film took place. Does it sound familiar at all, the storyline, to
Not
anyone?
A bit. It does now
Going
because...
Going 15 rounds with a champ when you're supposed to lose and you're just a low-life club fighter from the
I
East Coast.
I see where this is headed.
Gets in the ring with a champion who's sort of a braggadocious...
Sort of flashy?
Flashy,
no.
arrogant champion. The underdog given no chance.
No.
It was the inspiration for Rocky Balboa, of course. Stallone loved the fight, as did all of America, except for four people in this room. Well, they're making an actual film about the actual events of that fight, and Liev Schreiber is going to play Wepner in the film.
That sounds great.
It's one of the great fights of all time. And it's amazing it wasn't stopped, because they didn't call him the Bayonne Bleeder for
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, I was going to say, he didn't fare very well.
His
apparently.
Face looked like 3 pounds of ground beef by the time the fight was over.
Oh, no.
And but he went the distance against the champ. Yes, Ellie. No one can see you raise your hand for a question on radio, but luckily I can. So you have something you need to ask?
I don't know much about boxing, but do you just go until it's finished? I thought you went, like, a certain number of rounds and then they called it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if there's not
That's
a knockout.
The distance. 15 rounds yeah. in a championship heavyweight
really?
Fight. 15 rounds.
Seems like a lot.
It's a lot of rounds, yeah.
You could really hurt someone by the end of that.
I think that's
right.
That's kind of the point of boxing, is to hurt someone. The whole sport is built around the concept of hurting someone.
Does one guy hit another guy?
Yeah, believe it or not. And sometimes when you hit someone, they can get hurt.
Huh. I had no idea Judge
Wapner
did this.
Why don't you say less?
Judge Wapner.
Okay, let me ask you this question, Ralph. This is a legitimate question.
If I had a parachute right now, I'd be heading for the exit door.
You, the witness, brought this up, so you opened up this level of questioning
planes have
for the
exit
prosecution.
Doors, Kevin. That's what they're called, the exit door. Kevin, like, how do you get on a plane from an exit door?
None of us are doing good.
Here's my question. If this real life story by Judge Wapner was the inspiration for the Rocky film that Sylvester Stallone wrote,
yes.
Was there any kind of a payday for Chuck?
Stallone was generous with Chuck after the success of the film.
Okay.
Let's just put it that way.
Why'd he move it to Philly instead of Jersey? That's just rude.
Because Philly's the best.
Oh.
Whoa.
Ralph, take it easy.
I know you're upset. You're frustrated, but come on.
Man, tone it down. We still have rules.
In fact,
Chuck
just filed a lawsuit against a competing film called American Brawler, which he's calling the stolen Wapner film. It's not the official Chuck Wapner story, and those producers misused some confidential information that was originally supposed to be used in The Bleeder, and so they stole some of his life facts that were exclusive to the Liev Schreiber film, and now there's a lawsuit against the producer of that film. We're trying to create a competing film that Chuck is not involved in.
Where are you, Chuck?
Chuck is alive, and he is suing. That's how you know he's alive.
Is he still bleeding?
Because he is apparently is not bleeding right now, which is great.
Well, this was very educational and informative.
Can't
showbiz
believe you've
beat.
Never heard of the Chuck.
Thank you for bringing
the
Wapner
Ali fight. That's sad on so many levels.
The fights only go 12 rounds now, though, right? Like 15 seems like a lot. Now.
I think they have reduced the number of rounds
because of his beef face.
No,
all the meat.
I don't believe it was beef face. Although
we have to do something about beef face.
Beef face, my favorite Superman villain from the old comics.
Oh, Ralph.
You're telling me. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ric Flair, he is 67 years old today. Carrot Top turns 51. Taya Leone is 50 years old today. Sean Astin celebrates his 45th birthday. Comedian Chelsea Handler is 41. Rashida Jones from The Office and, of course, Parks and Rec. And now Brenda Rebecca. No, what's her name?
Angie Tribeca.
Angie Tribeca, that's right.
And the woman who is tasked with writing Toy Story 4. Rashida Jones, by the way. That's what she's doing right now. I'm just saying she's very impressive. She does many things well.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. That wasn't a legitimate Regina Jones factoid when we're talking about the lady?
For Regina Jones, yes.
Regina Jones.
We're talking about Regina Jones, and it was just very, very germane.
Doesn't that, you guys make fun of me for my fun facts? Doesn't that qualify as a fun fact?
They're not fun.
That's a fun fact.
None of your facts are
fun. Just a fact.
That's the problem, maybe. There's no fun in your fun facts.
A lot of our listeners probably didn't know Rashida Jones is writing Toy Story 4. That was worth a mention on today, her birthday, when we're celebrating
her. It's Regina Jones.
Yeah, get it right.
Come on.
Take it easy.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
And comedian, actor Kumail Nanjiani joins us later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew just after 9. Right now, we've got a special treat for you clones listening. You get your Jim Rome show 9 to noon on AM 980 The Beast this morning, but you also get them right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Jim, how are you, man?
Dude, it's not special, and it's certainly not a treat. What's up? Hey, guys.
Well, after a long winter, I am happy to say, Jim, for the first time in 2016, we get to talk about baseball a little bit today. Kevin, woo-hoo! Don't leave. I think you're going to like both of these stories today.
All right.
Because they don't involve anything happening on the field. What's going on with former Dodger manager Don Mattingly now that he's down in Miami coaching for the Marlins?
Kevin, good news. These things have nothing to do with baseball. All right, so the latest with Don Mattingly is, and I'm not sure what to make of this, but he's gone to a new team, and he wants to lay down the law, and I get that, but the law is he's banning facial hair. Now, remember, guys, Mattingly had one of the coolest, greatest stashes in baseball history.
Yeah, that's what was confusing right. to me.
Didn't I mean, an awesome stash. What I'd give to be man enough to rock a stash like that. And even the Dodger teams that he had some of the nastiest facial hair ever, and not good nasty, bad nasty. And now the guy's saying no facial hair, and he made a big mistake. He's gotten on the wrong side of the AMI, the American Mustache Institute.
Oh, you don't want to be on the side.
You do not want those folks on your ass. They said, quote, Mattingly has turned his back on an opportunity to celebrate his mustached American roots and demonstrate the proven performance enhancing capabilities that come with lower nose foliage, end quote. In other words, Donnie's got bigger problems than the Mets and the Nats. The push brooms and the handlebars are on him.
Oh, man.
All right. Is there anything that you have ever heard in the many years you've been covering sports to suggest that players play better if they don't have facial hair?
No.
No, no. Right? No, not at all.
In fact, I've heard lots of things about how they play better with facial hair, and I've never, ever heard anybody make the argument that they're better without it. You know, it's just kind of a corporate
thing. What do you think
he's
going for? Like, why is he doing it?
Yeah, I have no idea. Honestly, I have no idea. I think you could probably argue that it's about discipline. It's about the look. I don't get it.
I think players bond more over when, like, playoff beards, that type of thing. It gets people going.
Hello. I mean, anytime I see somebody in public with a mustache, I want to get my picture taken with them.
Right?
I want their autograph. It's like, that guy's a celebrity. That guy's rocking a stash. I want to be that guy. And I'm not talking about that, like, wispy pube stash.
Yeah, we're not talking Bieber here.
I'm talking about a legitimate stash.
like that firemen have.
A fireman stash. Yeah. Exactly, Howie. That's what I'm saying.
A Ron Swanson stash is what we're talking about. Exactly.
I hope he rethinks that. I hope he goes back on it. It's a bad idea. I love the guy.
All right.
It's a bad idea.
Story number two, it also tangentially involves baseball because a baseball player is involved, and that is Red Sox's third baseman Pablo Sandoval, who showed up, and the pictures that came out this week of him at spring training with his shirt up, and he had, how did you describe his belly, Allie, when you saw this photo?
There are stretch marks from almost his crack all the way around his stomach. The stretch marks don't stop.
He looks like he's getting ready to have a baby.
And four or five.
He can't, that's not the body of a professional athlete, Jim.
Did she just say crack?
She did.
And it goes like from his butt crack around. I've never seen it.
No, that's...
There are stretches everywhere.
I didn't look at this picture that closely.
I did. I'm a Sox fan. I need to know what I'm in for.
Obviously, he's due. He's past the 9-month period. Then get a C-section. Then go and then get that kid. It'll be fine. No, listen, he's always been husky, but he showed up at spring training looking more like a defensive tackle than a third baseman. Listen, fat's all good when you're mashing, but the guy made 17 mil last year, and he was the worst third baseman in all of baseball. And then he showed up and said he was not a disappointment and, quote, I don't got nothing to prove. Actually, you
do,
Pablo.
You do.
Prove you can touch your toes. Prove you can see your toes.
Somebody this week said, and I think it may have been a San Francisco Giants broadcaster, Pablo's old team, said that he thinks that Pablo has an eating disorder. Now, I'm having trouble determining what the difference is between an eating disorder and somebody who just won't push the plate away.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Kruko said that. And I don't want to make light of somebody who has an eating disorder. I really don't know what I'm talking about. That's not where I live. But it seems like he eats everything he orders and everything everybody else orders. And again, I don't want to make light of this, but if having an eating disorder means that you can't stop shoving cookies and chocolate into your face, then I myself have an eating disorder, one every single night in my pantry.
All right.
But I don't want to make light of it.
Final topic with Jim Rome. We got to talk about, and it doesn't come up often in this segment, Jim, but UFC 196 is making a lot of headlines, none of them for the right reason. What's happening with this fight?
We always talk UFC in this segment. What are you talking about? We talk about Ronda all the time.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, well, the thing is, now Conor McGregor is like the guy, and he had a fight all set up, and the fight was going to be in about 2 weeks, but the guy that he was supposed to fight, Rafael Dos Anjos, pulled out with a broken foot, and it seemed like it was going to be a bad, bad thing, right? How do you replace a guy with less than 2 weeks to go? You find somebody who talks crazy, crazy noise like Nate Diaz, and you put them in together. So it looked like a bad thing, but it's actually a good thing because while it's not the title fight that Conor wanted, it's going to sell so many more fights because Diaz is a nut. And they were into each other yesterday. It's going to be a great, great thing.
That press conference was insane.
It was wild.
Awesome.
Wild.
They're accusing each other of being on steroids, right?
Well, mostly Nate was accusing Connor of being on roids. But the thing about Nate is Connor beats most guys before they even get into the cage because he's just so good. I mean, literally, for my money, he is the most compelling athlete in any sport right now. And in terms of talking junk and smack, maybe the best I've ever seen. Like Muhammad Ali good. And he just destroyed Nate. The best Nate could come up with is, you're on roids. But then Connor came right back and said, yeah, well, you teach children's jiu-jitsu classes and you take bike rides with the elderly. And then when he starts to get into the real graphic stuff he's going to do to him, I feel his body will be ripped to shreds. It's a soft frame. The left uppercut will be a nice one. His long range is an illusion. The left uppercut will ping him clean. I mean, like, drop the mic stuff.
Wow.
And good
why
stuff.
Why is Frankie Edgar upset? What upset him about this?
Edgar is upset because Edgar was told that he was in line to fight Connor next, and then that didn't happen. Dos Anjos got the fight, and then Dos Anjos got hurt, and then the UFC went back to Edgar and said, all right, you can have the fight, but he's hurt right now, so he can't take that fight. So
he's
obviously frustrated.
He's
frustrated because he can't take the fight, and he knows that this might be his one and only shot to get the guy that he's been chasing around for months and months, and he may never get another shot. So he's bent. He's frustrated. I get it.
You're so right, though, about Conor McGregor. You can't take your eyes off him in or out of the octagon, and I can't wait for UFC 196. And Holly Holm is fighting Miesha Tate on the same bill, right? That's going to be a huge night.
She is. That's going to be a huge fight. That's a huge fight. Holly, hey, Miesha Tate, I've interviewed her. You guys have talked to her, right, Miesha?
I think we have.
Yeah, Misha's cool. Misha's cool, and she's dangerous. And, you know, you want to watch that fight, want to see Holly. But if Holly loses, then that fight with Ronda obviously is not going to mean what it would ordinarily mean. So she's taking a big chance by fighting. Ronda's not going to fight before that. So that's another good reason to watch it. And I want to see how much better Holly is now than she was even last time out.
All right. Great stuff. Jim Rome Show on AM 980 The Beast this morning from 9 until noon. Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for the time.
Goodbye, legends.
Thank you.
I know we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about this, but I just want to make sure before we go on. We decided it's still okay to make fun of Kanye West. He's just a delusional asshole.
Yes.
He's not having mental instability problems, right? So it's still funny?
Maybe both, but yes.
Okay.
Still funny.
He's got a couple of feuds going on right now that I'm really fascinated with. One is he has picked a fight with Bob Ezrin. Now, a lot of people may not know that name, but he at one time was one of the most famous and popular producers of music in the world. He produced, among other things, Pink Floyd's The Wall. He did the Kiss album, Destroyer. He produced for Alice Cooper, a lot of 70s and 80s artists. He was a very, very popular producer in those days. So he wrote an essay not long ago talking about Kanye West. And he basically said that unlike people like Jay-Z and Tupac and Biggie, Kanye's not going to be remembered. He says people are not going to be quoting too many Kanye West songs 20 years from now. Here's the quote from Bob Ezrin. Kanye's greatest achievements have been in the form of excessive behavior, egomaniacal tantrums, and tasteless grandstanding. That's what Bob Ezrin says.
Sounds so spot on.
Yeah, Team Ezrin on this one.
It sounds pretty accurate. But you know that Kanye can't hear that and not say something about it. Kanye is a guy who has to fight everyone who has something to say about him. He can't just go, well, you know what? I'm not everybody's taste, but I can't be involved in fighting with everybody. No, he's going to fight with everybody. And how does Kanye fight with people, you guys?
Twitter.
Exactly. Twitter. That's his megaphone. So we thought it might be interesting. You've heard what Bob Ezrin had to say about Kanye. We thought it might be interesting for you to hear the tweets that Kanye has fired back at producer Bob Ezrin. But because Kanye is so annoying, instead of Kanye West, Adam West is going to be doing the tweet. So, ladies and gentlemen, West on West, here's Adam West doing Kanye's tweets about Bob Ezrin.
I'm tired of old people that have no connection with anything trying to comment on music.
It's shockingly less annoying.
It's way less.
It's delightful,
it's actually
dare
kind
I say.
Of fun, yes. So he's old.
Do something relevant. Don't speak on me, bro, ever again.
See, because Bob Ezrin's best work may be behind him, so Kanye's like, who are you in 2016 to be talking about me?
It's like you guys that run companies don't invest in Ye, even if I'm your kid's idol. I'm so sorry for them. I will send them free Yeezys to make up for the embarrassment that you have caused your family.
How about that? You've embarrassed your children, so I'm going to send them some free tennis shoes from my collection. All right, so that's thing one. That's Kanye versus Bob Ezrin. So here's thing two. And on this one, I got to tell you, I'm not saying I'm team Kanye. I'm saying Kanye has a right to be upset about the Grammys.
Okay? I agree.
He has never won Album of the Year, and he certainly has made the best albums some of the years that he was nominated. I mean, he has lost to some terrible records, and I think that really says more to how out of touch the people who vote in the Grammys are than anything else that's going on. I think he legitimately has a beef with the Grammys. But you tell me if this is the way to handle it. Here's a series of tweets that Kanye West wrote about how he's going to fix the Grammys, read by our friend Adam West. Here's West on West.
Hi, Grammys. This is the most important living artist talking. I think the Grammys are super important. If I'm not at the show next year, then there is no show.
Wait, can he cancel the Grammys?
I'm not sure that he can. So Kanye thinks the Grammys not just are wrong to exclude him. They don't exist if he's not there. That's his opening salvo with the Grammys, but he's not done yet.
First order of business. We, the people, need to see future at the Grammys.
Okay. Okay. Well, now he's fighting other people's battles.
Right.
That's noble-ish.
Okay.
We need to see Young Thug at the Grammys.
All right. So now he's just throwing out names?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I'm not even gonna lie to you. I love me so much right now.
That was a tweet by Kanye West.
Nope.
Love me so much right now.
There's a line on his new album that says everything you need to know about Kanye, which is, I love you the way Kanye loves Kanye. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been West on West. Thank you, Adam.
I ain't wasting no more time. 106.7.
Hey!
Well, I mean, a little late.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I felt like that song needed a hey at the end. And
it's the right song.
Okay.
A little late. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:38.
I'm going to tell you guys, I've done the research, and I think there's some competition for the busiest man in Hollywood. I used to think it was Hardwick with all the shows, but listen to Kumail. Listen to what Kumail's got going on. He's got The Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail on Comedy Central. He's got The Silicon Valley Show coming back at the end of April on HBO. He's hosting a bunch of podcasts, including The Indoor Kids with Emily Gordon, his beautiful wife. He's the host of The X-Files Files as well, the podcast about that show. And he's the co-host, along with Kate McKinnon from SNL, of the 2016 Film Independent Spirit Awards, which is going to be this Saturday afternoon at 2 on IFC. Please welcome back to the program, Kumail Nanjiani. Hey, Kumail, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Does your head just spin when I read that list and you hear one right after another of all of the things, all of the balls in the air that you have right now?
Oh, yeah. I was getting stressed out just listening to you. it's all going to come crashing down. It's the house of cards, guys.
Exactly. Well, listen, we want to talk about the Spirit Awards because that's always such a fun show. But we haven't had a chance to have you on since you fulfilled your lifelong dream of appearing on The X-Files. And we wanted to know if it's everything you hoped it would be.
Oh, it was more. I mean, you guys had Chris Carter on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, many times, yeah.
Oh, wow. It was unbelievable. I mean, they were so nice. And again, like just me recounting it, I get overwhelmed. It's hard for me to talk about without getting emotional. So I honestly haven't watched the episode since it aired. I've seen it before just because I'm too scared to watch it again.
Oh, Kumail, I will say this, and it's not just because you are on the phone. The Weremonster was my favorite of the six episodes. It was so good.
It was a great episode. Yeah, Reese Darby was great in it. It was like a new twist on the were-monster thing.
You watched it again? It's great. You saw it once. You thought it was great, right?
Yeah, I did. I was nervous to watch it. I'm just like, I don't know.
I'm going to watch it alone once all this stuff is done. Like, when I have, like, a couple days off, I'm going to lay on the couch alone.
And maybe cry. What? Yeah. Whoa. That's a turn.
So, when you're, if I remember correctly, you're an animal control officer and you're running through, like, a cornfield or something like that with your net. And you're being, you're out there with Agents Mulder and Scully. And that I know you're an actor and you've been in a lot of situations that you know aren't real. But it had to have just been so surreal for you to be standing there and going, okay, I'm not just looking at these two people. I'm on the freaking X-Files.
Yeah, it was, you know, different levels of freak out, right? So first I go there and I meet David Duchovny, and you sort of pretend to not freak out. Like, David, am I saying that right? David, right. And then you meet, I'm in the trailer, and then Gillian Anderson comes in. And she's like, hey, I'm Gillian. I'm like, Gillian? Oh, I'm sorry. Gillian. I don't wanna... I was looking for coffee, and she, like, offered me her coffee.
Oh.
Which I took. I took that coffee.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
That's the only option.
Yeah.
But so they were so nice and, like, normal that you can convince yourself. But I had this moment when I was actually doing the scene. During the scene, I'm talking to them, and I was like, oh, I haven't just... talk to David and Jillian. Right now I'm talking to Mulder and Scully.
Yeah,
that's nice. Who I'm talking to right now.
Yeah.
And then there's another moment where I'm laying on the ground and Scully runs in with her flashlight and her gun out. And that's such an iconic image. I had another freak out there.
Now, did you have David and or Jillian on your podcast, on your X-Files Files podcast? And if so, did you get a chance to ask any questions that you have always wanted to ask them as a fan of their show?
Well, we would shoot nights, you know, because it's X-Files, it's outdoors. So one night at 3 in the morning, David knew that I host. David watches Silicon Valley, and he knew. Look at me, David.
David? Right? It is David, right?
So he knew Silicon Valley, and he knew about the podcast, and he'd heard some of it. Gillian Anderson knew of the podcast, but didn't know I was the guy. So at like 3 in the morning on the third day, she's like, oh, wait, you're that guy? I was like, yep, I'm back.
Yes, I'm, well, whoever that guy is, I'm him.
And she's like, well, let's record a podcast right now. So at 3 in the morning in a tent, the three of us, I started recording, and then they just started, like, reminiscing about season one and which episodes they really didn't like. I wanted to talk about the ones they liked, but they were like, no, it's more interesting if we talk about the bad ones.
All right.
How about that? So you were thrown into it. I mean, it's not like you had a date and a time and you could plan for it and get questions together. It was really just off the top of your head at 3 in the morning, whatever you had.
Oh, yeah, and I listened back to the recording later, and I could tell how nervous I was. I'm stumbling over my words. I'm saying things wrong. I literally had to go in and edit out, like, me repeating words and stuff.
Oh, but that's so great, though. That's such a dream come true. I'm so happy for you, Camille. All right, let's switch gears to this weekend. A lot of people may not know the Independent Spirit Awards because it airs the day before the Academy Awards every year on IFC. It's on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it is... I think it's a super fun award show, and I'm sure you do too, Camille, but tell people why it's so different from the Oscars.
Well, I say if the Oscars are like the World Series and the Independent Spirit Awards are the softball game that's a tax write-off for a hardware store.
Really selling it.
I like it. Put that in the promos. But all the big stars are there. I mean, your presenters are Jason Bateman, Anthony Mackie, Frida Pinto is going to be there, Jessica Chastain, Michael Keaton. I mean, Patricia Arquette, Amelia Clark. It's a lot of big stars that are there. And what makes an indie film for people who are confused as to what you're honoring?
I don't know specifically what the parameters are. I should have looked this up.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to before Saturday, but go ahead.
You know, they're like smaller movies, so this wouldn't be, you know, the new Batman and Superman won't be in it, but these are movies that are more unique, made by people with a stronger point of view. These are movies that people aren't really making to make money. They're making just to sort of, you know, get a new interesting story out there.
And I guess another way to put it is this is an award that a black guy can win?
Or even get nominated.
Right, even get nominated, exactly. Do you know Kate McKinnon, who we love so much on SNL every week? Are you guys already friends, or is this going to be your first time kind of hanging out?
No, I met her at, like, parties here and there, but because of this, while doing promos and stuff, I met her, and then we hung out all day yesterday, and she's lovely. We were saying, you know, Oscars had the controversy that they weren't diverse enough, and now this is a show hosted by a gay woman and a Pakistani man. Like, I think we overcorrected a little bit.
Well, the show is going to be super fun. I can't wait. It's going to be Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock on IFC, the 2016 Film Independent Spirit Awards. And it's just casual, and everybody's just kind of hanging out at the beach and drinking and having fun. It's a really great show. And Camille, we're looking forward to seeing you on it. And we're very excited about Silicon Valley coming back at the end of April. Whenever you have time, man, we'd love to have you back in.
Yeah, and I'd love to come back into the studio next time. You know, we'll do it in April.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, Camille. Have a great weekend, dude.
You too. Bye.
Take care. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin DeBean Show at 8:54.
Ow!
Going to talk to our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky about sex addiction. Porn addiction, I guess I should say. Not even sex addiction, but porn addiction, which is now in the news as a result of actor Terry Crews saying that he had a lifelong addiction to pornography on the internet. Which I don't really know how that worked when he was little before the internet was invented. But he got over it about 6 or 7 years ago. And what?
Nothing.
And how is that a thing? And what's rehab like for porn addicts? So we'll talk to Dr. Drew about all that coming up just after 9. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
If being addicted to porn is wrong, I don't want to be right. So whatever with Terry Crews.
He's too buff, right?
He is too buff.
That question was asked yesterday.
That was.
Has Bean been on an unbelievable role?
Like, yeah. Right?
We're surprised every day by stuff that comes out of his mouth.
It's as if, like, imagine. I can't even put it into some sort of perspective. All right, imagine that in the most recent Super Bowl, if Peyton Manning threw for 15 touchdowns, like if he. At the which is when you thought he was maybe flagging, had the game of his career. It's unbelievable how Bean has stepped up his game.
Well, it doesn't sound like you guys are reacting as if these are touchdowns. That's right.
No, they're
maybe
not. They're
15 interceptions is what it sounds like.
He has found a new passion for the sport.
He's Peyton Manning during the season when he would throw 4 interceptions a game.
No, I beg to differ.
What's up?
Right?
I'm just...
What's up?
That's
actually Bean.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
What's up? What's up?
Yeah. That's about 5 years after that Bud Light commercial aired.
I was going to say, at least it was five. Right then.
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh. Well, he wasn't riding the wave of popularity of that commercial at all. It was...
Well after. Yeah, it was not good.
Hey, kids, let me do you a favor here. When you go on the Twitter, on the Instagram... When you're posting your pics, you know,
yeah,
for LOLs and emojis, you know, be careful. Be careful what you post. Just ask the lovely Chrissy Teigen.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
She was showing off her dog Pippa, like you do. And she had a photo of Pippa that was in her new cookbook, apparently. That's where this picture showed up. You got to be careful where you take pictures these days. Because in the photo of Pippa, her collar and tag were quite visible. And on the tag, you guessed it, Chrissy's home phone number.
Oh, no.
Well, that's not ideal.
Chrissy went on Twitter to thank the 100 or so people who were kind enough to call in, check in with her and see how she was doing. And then had to warn friends that she has changed her phone number so that number is no longer valid.
Oops.
It's like when people take a picture of, like, a coffee mug or something, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, there's a reflection of my boob.
Yeah, right. In the background, it's like your husband taking a dump or something. Yeah. Just scan. Just give it a once-over, yeah. I'm saying, before you post it or publish it or what have you therein as well.
The one thing that you can be assured of is that they will find that number and they will call it.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a guarantee.
Because the Kevins of the world exist.
How dare
That's
you.
All we're saying. I did a story.
Let me ask you guys this question. If you, not that this would ever happen, but you had the Chrissy Teigen cookbook for some reason, and you opened it to that page, you said, oh, look at the little dog. Hey, wait a minute. Is that her phone number? In a million years, would it ever occur to you to then call her?
No.
Yes.
Not at all. Never.
Really?
Why would I? That's why would I
told
call?
You the Kevins of the world exist.
The worst.
What's up? What's up?
But, Ralph, you wouldn't call that number, right?
I would not call that number. No.
And tell me why.
Because it would be
Are you trying to shame me, Bean.
It would be a personal intrusion into her life. I would feel
exactly, Allie.
what would you get out of it? Like, oh, hi, Chrissy. Like, you're not going to be best friends.
You, okay. Allie, you call up and you say, puppy, monkey, baby. You do that, and then you hang up.
Let's bring it over to you.
So, Kevin, tell me what the thought process is as you pick up the phone to dial Chrissy Teigen's number because you read it in the cookbook.
Puppy, monkey, baby.
Yep. Yeah. I'm just trying. I'm trying. You guys say I don't have enough empathy for humans. I'm trying to understand this human. What's going through your mind as you die?
Easy. Let's not hold Kevin up as the poster child of humanity. Okay.
Look, I'm just saying.
No, tell me.
You got us there.
What are you going to say to her when she picks up the phone?
What's up? What's up?
And then she's going to go, what's up with you?
That'll be good use of your time.
Okay. You thought there was going to be a good answer for that, Bean?
I did. I'm trying to understand how your mind works. That's all. Because Ralph and Allie had reasonable decision-making, which is, I'm not going to do this because. I wanted to hear from you why you would do it.
I don't have an answer for you, Bean.
Okay.
Back to you.
Low impulse control, I'm guessing, would be the answer. I did a story earlier this week about Charlie Sheen and his, what he was calling, roid disengage when he went off after being fired from Two and a Half Men. Started railing against Chuck Lorre, his castmates, went on tour screaming at the audience, blamed it all on testosterone cream, you may remember.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this email came from Eric in the 951, who apparently has some knowledge about the effects of testosterone levels and testosterone cream. Hi, Ralph, podcast listener out of the beautiful city of Riverside, California. Listening to the podcast the other day, I heard your report on Charlie Sheen and his testosterone levels. Being a sports fan and a fan of the UFC, I can tell you there are a number of athletes in that particular sport who have taken or are currently taking TRT, known as testosterone replacement therapy. This may have been the case with Charlie Sheen. It turns out that in his blood, there could have been low levels of test were in his body. I woke up in a noble bed. Low levels of test were in his body. Low levels of test were in his body. Low levels of test were in his body.
I cannot even.
That's Eric in the 951.
Winning.
Thanks, Eric, for that.
It's been a while.
Winning indeed. It has been a while. Today's celebrity birthday is Carrot Top, 51 years old today. Alexis Denisov.
What?
Actor Alexis Denisov is 50 years old today. Tia Leone is 50. Sean Astin's 45. Chelsea Handler is... What?
Yeah, what?
Chelsea Handler? What was that?
Very pretty.
Did I hear what? Something? Did I just hear
Very
something?
Very pretty. I know you what personally do not like her style of comedy, but I think she's attractive.
It has nothing to do with her style of comedy.
You don't think Chelsea Handler's attractive?
Oh, sweet Jesus, no.
Really?
Oh, no.
Oh, I think she's pretty. Pretty lady.
Nobel.
How? What?
Nobel Peace Prize.
Nobel Peace Prize, indeed.
Nobel.
There we go. Suck that right back in. She's 41. Yeah, she's 41. That's the funniest thing Chelsea Handler has ever said, that she was 41, by the way. Rashida Jones. We love Rashida Jones. Love her so much. 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations, and thank you for listening to Becky Woodring from Hollywood. Wow, we don't have very many winners from actual Hollywood, but she has won herself some tickets for a pair of sold-out three-day passes to Coachella and is on the standby boarding list to see any band on the bill playing anywhere in the world. I hope we're going to be calling you on Monday morning, Becky, when we do the grand prize drawing between 7 and 8 o'clock. All right, every week at this time, we talk to our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, who is on the phone right now. Drew, where are you right now?
Home.
What?
Yes. How about that?
What?
I know, right?
Are you okay?
I'm okay. No, it's all good.
Can you call in sick? Are you taking a day off?
Leaving momentarily.
Do we need to send someone over there? You all right?
Well, listen, Dr. Drew has a very busy schedule. Of course, he goes Loveline here on K-Rock 5 nights a week. The Dr. Drew on HLN show Monday through Thursday nights at 6. You can hear him weekday afternoons with Mike Cathwood on KABC. But he makes time for us because we always have stories in the news we need his help with. And this one involves Terry Crews. Do you know the actor Terry Crews at all, Dr. Drew?
I do not know him, but Mike Catherwood knows him. He's run into him in the gym a number of times and is rather impressed by him.
We've had him on the show several times, and everything he says is awesome, and you love him.
Yeah, he's
you
like love a him. Motivational yeah. poster brought
That's
to
right.
life.
Everybody I've ever spoken to that knows him and his wife just think that he's just the most lovely, wonderful people.
Yep.
He played in the NFL for 6 years and has become a very successful actor. He currently is one of the stars of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but you would know him from White Chicks, from The Expendables, from lots of other movies. But he has been doing a series of Facebook posts now where he very frankly talks about something most people would not say out loud. He calls it a dirty little secret, and his is porn addiction. I want to play a clip, Dr. Drew, and then we'll discuss.
All right.
For years, 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 my dirty little secret was that I was addicted to pornography for years. I didn't tell anybody. It was a thing that it was my secret. Nobody knew. And that allowed it to grow. And it got bad. And when I say bad, some people deny. They say, hey, man, you know, you can't really be addicted to pornography. There's no way. But I'm going to tell you something. If day turns into night and you are still watching, you probably got a problem. And that was me.
How much porn addiction have you seen lately? Have you come across with all of your various shows and your practice, doctor?
Actually, a ton. 10, 15 years ago, I used to work with a physician out at Delamo Treatment Center in Torrance who was saying that this was the pornography addiction would be the most rapidly increasing diagnostic category in medicine. Now, sex addiction per se doesn't right now fit a specific formal diagnosis. It's sort of a construct. But porn addiction, as we understand it, as we sort of construct it, is terribly common. I mean, think about it. The pornography itself has become so intense. The image of it has become so gratifying. And everyone essentially is carrying a crack pipe in their pocket, the phone. It's all pouring down on our computers, on our phone. And if you have a proclivity, you're young, you're male, it can get going. And if you have trauma or difficulty regulating or having unpleasant feeling states that you use by sort of getting lost in this material, off you go.
Now, he said he went to rehab. There's a place you could go for this, for porn addiction?
There are places. A guy named Patrick Carnes that has been sort of a leader in this field for years. If you remember, Tiger Woods went there, if you remember. And porn addiction is probably the most common form of sex addiction. We deal, on my KBC show, we have a woman named Alexandra Katahakis that runs a center called the Center for Healthy Sex. They have a website, centerforhealthysex.com, if you want to get any more information about sex addiction, because it is terribly, terribly common. And the problem, the biggest problem is it tends to impact health. It tends to find people doing legally suspect things. It affects their finance. They have trouble working. And they usually get off the pornography and into things like prostitution and strippers, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, usually.
Go ahead, Ellie.
Is this a self-medicating? Are they medicating from something else, a childhood trauma, that sort of thing? How does it begin?
Yeah, I mean, it is that kind of thing.
And it begins because there are boobs on the internet. That's how it begins.
Well, that's a kind of a little bit different thing. I mean, Ellie asked the right question, which is that people have trouble regulating feelings, and this helps them sort of escape, and it runs out of control. You know, it's loss of control is one of the hallmarks. They try to stop, they try to cut down, but they can't. They lose control over it. They have influences, effects on important areas of their life, and then they've got an issue here. But there is another thing that you're mentioning that we've sort of seen on Loveline lately, which is not porn addiction, but sort of one of the more pernicious effects of porn, which is really interesting, which is a lot of young males are looking at pornography as opposed to having real relationships. You'll hear 18, 17-year-olds say, no, girls are kind of difficult. I'm fine. You know, what they're saying is they got their porn. Then they hit their young adulthood. They find someone they fall in love with. They become obsessed with that person. She doesn't always reciprocate, or the relationship ends, as is normal, and the guy becomes flipped out. He then settles for a friend, right, goes into friend zone. Really all he's doing is stalking. And we'll get the call on Loveline a year later or 2 years later with the guy going, tells the story and says, now, it's been 2 years as friend. It's time. It's time for her to step up.
Wow.
It's spooky.
That sounds scary.
Yikes.
It is. And Terry Crews talks about the damage that he did to his own marriage, and they were able to work through it. And he said that part of the problem was that viewing enough pornography, he stopped looking at women as people and started looking at them as objects to be used. And I bet that that is part of the problem with a lot of people.
It is, and they even started looking at parts of bodies as sort of sources of intense arousal. The intensity is really the problem here. And intensity becomes the focus of the day as opposed to real intimacy. And so actual intimate relationships suffer. And you got to remember, too, somebody who has elected to or been attracted to the kind of person who's predisposed to sex addiction, that person's got some stuff, too, going on. So oftentimes the codependent needs to do a lot of work as well. The interesting thing is, in the majority of situations of any kind of sex addiction, and probably particularly porn addiction, most couples actually stay together.
All right, here's the question I've been waiting all day to ask you, Dr. Joe. When Terry Crews said that he went to rehab, is the answer going to be like an alcohol or drug addiction where you can't do anything? You have to be completely cut off. You can't even have a drink. So therefore, you can't masturbate one time to the internet. Or is it something that you can do casually if you've had a problem in the past?
You have to be abstinent for a while. Even from thoughts, you have to monitor your thinking. You have to scrub your technology. You have to have no access. You have to report every time you have certain kinds of thoughts and feelings and examine them. And just like detoxing from a drug, it takes a while for people to start to have real feelings again. And essentially every quality program I know that deals with sex addiction has a 12-step foundation at some level in what they're doing. And so in SA and SCA and SLA and all these programs that are out there, often they'll do something called a circle plan, which there are concentric circles, a middle circle of forbidden activities, a circle outside of that of activities that are slippery but you can kind of do with your sponsor and monitor, and then an outer circle of activities that are nourishing and healthy. It's called a circle plan.
I know the circle you can't do. All right, let me play one more clip before we let you go, Dr. Drew. And this is, again, this is Terry Crews from his Facebook page on the porn addiction.
I got a lot of questions, mainly about pornography and the whole thing, and you know, about my addiction and how to beat it.
Okay, now how do you beat it, I think, is what he's asking.
Oh my God.
How dare you? Thanks, Kevin.
I don't know that that's something we can talk about on the radio, though, right?
Bean, we were all having fun here. We're learning from Drew.
How can you talk about this without goofing around? I mean, it's a comfortable topic. But let me tell you one thing about what he was saying there, that this whole presentation he's put together that I think is vitally important. He points out how shame and secrecy, lying and hiding fuels the process. Shame fuels the process. Hiding fuels shame. So it's important to be open and honest about it. The other issue is the fact that he's going so open wide, you know, to the world, tells me that he is really deeply into his recovery. You can always tell when somebody has fully embraced their recovery process when they want to be of help to other people. And there's nothing more courageous than doing it so publicly. So I full hats off to Terry Crews. He's just as wonderful as he's ever been.
I remember a while ago seeing him on TV talking about how him and his wife are going through a 90-day cleanse of sex.
Abstinence, yeah.
Of abstinence.
That's the circle plan. That's the middle circle.
And before none of us knew any of this, this was probably part of his healing.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Because because when these guys stop doing everything, feelings come out that they didn't even know were there.
Wow, a fascinating topic, and he really is very brave to be able to do that. And I bet he's going to help a lot of people just putting it out there in the media. All right, Dr. Drew, have fun with your week, my friend. We'll listen to you on Loveline with Mike Catherwood, Sunday through Thursday nights here on KROQ. We'll be watching you on HLN Monday through Thursday night at 6 and the Midday Show with Mike Catherwood. I understand you're going to be doing some Steve Harvey coming up here soon, too?
Yes, it's airing, I think, next week, and then I'm recording another one on Monday.
All right, sounds great, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Doc.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
I don't know if they're in L.A. or not, but I know they go to Florida a lot.
Oh, the Black Keys do?
Hey, if they go to Florida, can they just take off and fly to Cuba?
What?
That might be interesting. Love to go there and see all those cars.
Well, I think you should do that, Roddy. I think that sounds like a lot of fun. Hey, it's time for one more look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. That means it's Ralph Garman time.
It is indeed. Congratulations to Bobby Brown. He's going to be a dad again. Sweet.
Is that sweet?
Yeah. Because think of how good he is at making babies.
Come on, Ralph. Don't be cruel. Yeah.
Maybe not as good at raising babies as he is as making babies. He and his wife, Alicia Etheridge, apparently expecting their third child, according to Us Weekly magazine. They already share a 6-year-old son named Cassius, a 7-month-old daughter named Bodie, and he has 3 adult children from another relationship, Landon LaPrincia.
I'm sorry.
What, Bean? That's going to be a very common name in the future. You're not even going to know where it came from. It'll be well accepted. Everyone will know where that came from. It'll be fine. It's going to be a name that'll be fine.
I don't think that has the power of...
It's true.
Mass media acceptance going in, like some of the names we were talking about earlier.
No, Barry made that up for the Peter Pan novel, LaPrincia. That's where that came from.
LaPrincia?
Yeah. J.M. Barry, the author of Peter Pan.
It just sounded funny, Barry.
That's a name, too, that we didn't know where it came from, but now you meet a lot of Barrys.
Yeah.
So it's just, I just looked a name it up, Ralph. Just going to come from. It's
and,
fine.
And I'm surprised to find out that Bobby Brown is only 47 years old.
See, I told you he was good at making babies.
But when you look at him, doesn't... I mean, that's a hard 47.
Oh. Come on, Bean, don't be cruel. Wow. Trying to recycle it.
We can't.
People from Boston are just the worst, aren't they?
Bobby Jr. is another one of his kids, and of course the late Bobby Christina Brown. So that's happening. Kevin, are you on board with the Trump train now? Are you?
No.
Are you Trump-tastic?
I don't think so. What has something changed?
I thought maybe since he was pandering to your particular group.
I don't know which group you're referring to.
Oh, no.
Sure you do.
It can't be good, though.
Of course it's good. I thought now he's addressing the needs of your people, then finally maybe you would be behind the former host of Celebrity Apprentice. Once he won in Nevada at the caucus there,
right.
He gave a rousing victory speech.
Okay.
And he called out some of the special interest groups that he is supporting, and your people were among them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So we won the evangelicals.
Good.
We won with young.
Right.
We won with old.
Right.
We won with highly educated.
Right.
We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated.
He loves your people, Kevin. He's on your side. I don't know who Harper Lee is. All that whole contingent now is, as a champion.
He does love us.
I love the poorly educated. Where would I be without the idiots? Nowhere. Love them.
He should, we won with poorly educated. Yeah. I love the poorly educated.
Oh, who doesn't?
He should be grateful for low-information voters at this point.
Right? Right.
Right?
Justin Bieber is going to appear in the 100th issue of Clash magazine. Oh, it's a collector's item. I can complete my Clash collection. Anybody know what Clash magazine is?
I don't. I don't. Oh, yeah.
The magazine's website promises a... interview with Justin, but really the selling point is Justin Bieber appearing in nothing but a fedora. Oh, hope it's not on his head. He's using it wisely. The interview will be just as deep and honest and naked as the photos.
Really?
They promise. We'll talk about the personal struggles he's endured. Okay, I think we need to take a hard look at the use of the word struggle. Everyone seems to be throwing it around. Kanye West talked about his struggle, and Bieber's talking about his struggles. I don't think this word means necessarily what you think it means. So, yeah, that'll be in Clash magazine.
I was unfamiliar with Clash magazine, but I'm looking at it now. It seems to be a music magazine. Recent cover stars have included Charlie XCX, Rita Ora, Lana Del Rey, Future. So they do seem to be doing contemporary pop, people.
Sit down.
Future should be in the Grammys. That's all I know.
I've heard that,
I read that in a tweet. And, you know, you've arrived once they hit you with the porn parody. Fuller House doesn't debut on Netflix until tomorrow, for those of you looking forward to the sequel of the Full House sitcom. But you don't have to wait for the X-rated revamped version of the show. That's right. The porn version of Full House is now available. It is called Full Holes.
No. I'm not even trying.
Yeah? Not even a little bit.
Features, I get it.
Characters based on the popular sitcom with names like Handy Tanner. Instead of Andy. Instead of Andy Tanner.
Handy?
It'd be Handy Tanner.
Uh-huh.
Instead of Michelle, there's Muff Shell.
No!
Come on.
They're in a rush, and they just threw these in as placeholders, right?
CJ, the character of CJ, has been replaced
BJ.
By... What? You're like Nostradamus. He was a guy who could see things in the future, Kevin. He was like a psychic. And Kimmy Gobbler, of course, will be.
Sure.
So you got all those to look forward to.
And that ain't right.
And that ain't right at all. I talked to Bob Saget about that. He feels he's probably behind it. He's probably stars in the porn version for all
I
know.
I hope not. That terrified of what they're going to call Bob Saget.
Oh, come on.
Bob Saggy. What? Saggy.
Yeah.
If you can't say the punchline.
You can't just point at stuff, Allie. I'm telling you, it just does not work.
Pointing does not translate as well as we would hope.
I know your back is primarily in front of the camera. with your shake weights and your goats and whatnot, but not a big sell.
She points a lot.
She's a lot of
and hand, she raises her hand when she has a question, and she points.
That
and
happens.
I believe there's some sign language going on at some point in the show. It's very, very
stop doing what you're doing.
Okay.
That's all we're asking. Today's celebrity birthdays: Ric Flair is 67 years old today. Comedian Carrot Top celebrates his 51st birthday. Alexis Denisov, oh, he's dreamy. Very talented actor, he's 50. Tay Leone, star of Madam Secretary, 50 years old. Sean Astin, he was a goblin or something, right? Wasn't he a goblin?
He was in Lord of the Rings,
Hobbit.
Yeah.
He was a hobbit.
Hobbit.
Yeah, I knew it was something. He was little.
And wasn't he also Rudy?
He was Rudy. Yeah.
Ugh.
What's the matter with you?
Why, with Rudy?
How can you hate Rudy?
Notre Dame is the worst.
But the movie, what about the movie, though?
Yeah, he gets on the field.
Yeah, whatever.
At the end, everyone, and Rudy.
Nope.
And
that's so
it's an inspiring story.
It's an inspiring story.
Nope.
Stop doing what you're doing.
What's wrong with Rudy?
Rudy
blows.
Fighting Irish.
Rudy blows.
What's your problem with Rudy?
All right, if it was said at another college, would you be all right?
What if it was at BC?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that'd be
that's
great.
What I thought. I thought it might be a little,
she's a bitch.
A little rivalry issue there with Boston College, maybe, perhaps.
Issue. I see.
Comedian Chelsea Handler's 41. And Rashida Jones, lovely and talented actress who many of us, I guess, discovered on The Office when she was on that show. She came in a little later in the series than a lot of the other characters. I think the storyline was Jim going off to work at another office for Dunder Mifflin, the paper company where he was employed, because he was had unrequited love for Pam. It was difficult for him, so he took a transfer. And I remember we talked to Rashida Jones about that when it happened.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Jim?
Kevin. I think Kevin's doing it exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
I think we all it's agree. Right. From what we could make out of that, I think we all agree with it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have the Movie Beat because it's Friday. We have comedian Dave Attell in studio. We are going to preview the Oscars with Matt Achety from Rotten Tomatoes. And we're going to talk to Jimmy Kimmel about his After the Oscars special. And we've got your 3-day Coachella passes as well tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.